Let's go to 3 John in your New Testament. And here the Apostle John, referring to himself as the elder, writes a letter to his good friend Gaius. And he says here, if you're in 3 John, verse 1, the elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And if you're there, just glance across the page to 2 John, the second epistle of John. And notice verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we have received commandment from the Father. I would like us to focus on that phrase this morning, walking in the truth. And by the way, it is a present tense verb, thus denoting ongoing and continuing action. We are Christians, and our goal and our mission in life is to always be walking, taking each step day by day in truth or in the truth. And what the Apostle John presupposes is this. We can either be walking or living and taking each step in the truth, or we can be taking it in non-truth. We can be taking steps in what is erroneous, or what is false, or what is evil, or what goes against the truth about God and His will. Now, many today presuppose that, well, truth is relative. Truth is what works for you. They have a real pragmatic sense or approach to life. If something works for you, all well and good, that's true for you. But for other people, it may not be true. And we sort of live in this very, very gray, shadowy world where no one seems to know what truth is. You recall when the Lord Jesus Christ stood before Pontius Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus a very penetrating question. What is truth? Little did Pilate know that he was looking at the very embodiment of God's truth. After all, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me. And so many people today, just like Pilate, ask the same question, what is truth? Who knows what is true? And besides, who can truly claim to know the truth? After all, wouldn't that be rather presumptuous or proud or arrogant to say that you know the truth? I mean, who do you think you are? That's the way our society and that's the way our culture looks at us and looks at Christianity. But truth is not relative. There is truth because God is God and God absolutely exists and God is the source of all that is right, true, pure, and good. So let's think now for just a few moments this morning. What might it mean for us as Christians to be walking or to be living in the truth? And I trust this is where we want to live, that we would not want to live anywhere else but in truth. I mean, after all, who wants to live in error? Who wants to live in falsehood? Who wants to live in self-deception? Who wants to go down the wrong path in life? Nobody. So let me suggest a few things. I have my transparency here. Maybe you just kind of follow this a little bit this morning. Walking in the truth. I'm going to suggest some things, but I don't want you to think that my list is exhaustive or that we've said all that could be said. But I think if we're walking in the truth, it at least means that we're worshiping and serving the one true God, the God who has revealed himself in creation and the God who has revealed himself in the pages of the Holy Bible. In 1 John, the Apostle John says, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, That's a reference to God the Father. That's a reference to the one true God, that we may know Him that is true, that we may have fellowship with this one who is true, that we may enjoy this one who is true, and that we are in Him, that we belong to Him who is true, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then the Apostle John says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And so if we're going to be walking in the truth, we have to be worshiping and serving the one true God who really is, and no other gods, and have no other idols. Secondly, I believe that walking in the truth means that we hold to the true confession about Jesus, God's Son. And the Apostle John goes to great lengths to point out that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And I believe when we hold to the true confession of Jesus, it means that we not only acknowledge that He is the divine Son of God, but it means that we also understand why Jesus came. He came into this world to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that God could be absolutely just and right in forgiving us all of our sins. I believe when we acknowledge the true confession about Jesus, we're acknowledging the mission of Jesus and what Jesus did for us, and that God really hates human sin and human defiance of Him and His will. And God has brought Jesus into this world so that we might understand God's presence and God's love and God's desire to make us His friends. If you will, for just a few moments, go back to 1 John. I'm trying to look at 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John this morning to try to determine what it means to walk in the truth. And the Apostle John begins his letter, known as the first epistle of John, by talking about Jesus. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle John seems to be speaking about how he and the other apostles and the other witnesses of Jesus, they've seen Jesus, they've handled Jesus, they've heard Him speak. They can testify to all of this from personal experience. And then they go on in verse 4 and say, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him, from God. And we declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness, and God is no evil, no error, nothing false. If we say that we have fellowship or friendship with God and we walk or we live in darkness, we live in untruth, we live in evil and error, then we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk, if we live, if we take each step day by day in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship. We have a sense of friendship and partnership and sharing with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us or keeps on cleansing us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word, His truth, is not in us. I believe when we acknowledge the true confession about Jesus is that we are acknowledging the reason for which He came. And that is to save us, to deliver us, to rescue us from sin and our alienation from God, and to bring us into a right standing and a right relationship with God. Notice the work of Jesus that is described in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, or we have a representative or a defense lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I believe when the Apostle John was writing his first letter, he was trying to combat some false teaching. And that false teaching was saying that, well, there's no such thing as human sin. Or human sin is not really a problem. This business about defying God and disobeying God and God holding us liable for our sins and judging us, well, that's not really true. Maybe we sin with our body, but in our spirit is pure. Perhaps these opponents of the Apostle John were making some sort of artificial dichotomy between body and spirit, or finding an excuse to sweep sin and its terrible consequences under the rug. And so, as those who walk in the truth, we walk in the full light, in the full knowledge of what Jesus has done for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's look at, say, chapter 4 for just a moment. This is 1 John we're in. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. 1 John 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, or to be that satisfying payment for our sins that turns away God's wrath. That's what the word propitiation means, that God is satisfied with what Jesus did on the cross, and thus His anger, His wrath, His judgment against our sins is now turned away, precisely because what Jesus did for us. So, if we're walking in the truth, we're walking in the reality of the Almighty, true, and living God. We're walking in the reality of what Jesus has done for us. Some of the false teachers that the Apostle John was combating was trying to say that the Messiah has not come in the flesh. He has not come at all. And that would call into question who Jesus was. It would call into question His identity. It would call into question who it was that was nailed to the cross. And so the Apostle John is holding out a high view of Jesus, that Jesus is certainly the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and that the Jesus who died on the cross was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And He was raised from the dead, thus upholding His identity, or proving that He really was whom He claimed to be. Let's go on to my third point. If we're walking in the truth, that means we're walking in obedience to God's commands. You know, God gives us commands to keep us safe. God doesn't give us commands just to complicate our lives or to give us hurdles that we have to get over. God's commands are always designed to keep us safe, to keep our relationship with Him safe, to help nurture our relationship with Him, and to help us interact in a way that honors God with other people. After all, Jesus in His teaching in the Gospels summarized the commandments of God by saying, the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart and your mind, your soul and your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you will, look at 1 John. Go back to 1 John, if you will, chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Notice verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, now by this we know that we know Him. In other words, we can have assurance that we really belong to God. We can have assurance that we're right with God if we keep His commands. He who says, I know God, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth and the reality of who God is, the truth and the reality of His Son and what Jesus came to do for us, and the truth and the reality of God's commands does not exist. And the one who claims to know God, but yet has no concern or is making no effort whatsoever to keep God's commands. Notice verse 6, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. We claim to be in Jesus, if we claim to serve and to know Jesus as our Savior, then we're obligated to walk or to live just as He walked. Now, does it mean we're going to do this perfectly? Does it mean we'll fulfill every single commandment of God perfectly? No. We're still sinners. In fact, Jesus came. He died on the cross for us precisely because we're sinners and we can't keep God's commands. And even after we become Christians, while we have the Holy Spirit working in us, we have the Word of God, and we have God's grace transforming us so that we sin less and less and we obey more and more, we're not going to become perfect in this life. After all, in chapter 1, the Apostle John said to Christians, mind you, that the blood, the shed blood, the finished work of Jesus on the cross keeps on cleansing us from all our sins. Chapter 2, verse 1 says that we shouldn't sin, but if we do, if Christians do sin, we still have a defense lawyer or a representative with God, and that's Jesus, who is absolutely righteous. And he's the one that made the final, perfect, complete, sufficient payment for our sins on the cross when he died there for us about 2,000 years ago. So walking in the light means we walk in the reality of who is God. We walk in a path that worships and serves him. We walk in view of the true confession about Jesus, and we walk each day endeavoring to keep his commandments. Number four, we're walking in the truth, we're living in love. And this may actually be the Apostle John's primary concern. We notice in 3 John, for example, that the Apostle John commends Gaius for walking in the truth. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And then in verse 5, the Apostle John says, Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren, and even for strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. So it seems that Gaius is being commended for his love to fellow Christians. He is commended for his hospitality and for his kindness. Let's just go back to 1 John for a moment. I know I'm having you turn to quite a few different passages here. But let's just go back to 1 John for a moment. Notice chapter 2, if you will. Go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and is true in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. That verse may mean that the true light of God-like love, the true light of Christian love, is shining. It's shining in the world. Where is it found? Where is it shining? Within the Christian community. Verse 9, he who says he is in the light, that is, in right relationship with God, and hates his brother, is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If you will, go and look at chapter 3. Just go to chapter 3 for a moment. Verse 11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. We would surmise then there was some jealousy and enviousness going on. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If you will, just go down to the end of, say, chapter 4. Say, verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. One of the great hallmarks of being a Christian is that our life is being transformed and God is rooting out all of the hatred and the anger and the bitterness and the resentment and the hostility of other people. We see other people in different light. And we're thankful to God for all of the love that he has shown us, which we didn't deserve. All of that love that was poured out on the cross, we appreciate it. We understand what God's love is because of Jesus. And now when God works in us and changes us, we're starting to love. And that's what Christianity is all about. I believe walking in the truth means walking in love. Let's look at point number 5 and we'll wrap it up. Number 5, doing what is good. It's really an extension of number 4. If we're living in love and we're treating others in love, then we should be doing what is good and only what is good. If you will, go back to 3 John. Just flip the page or two to 3 John. And notice verse 11. The Apostle John has to criticize Diotrephes. He seemed to be a troublemaker. He was arrogant, proud, wanted to have the preeminence in the church, and he didn't welcome or receive the saints. And so the Apostle John has some choice words for him. And then in verse 11, he says, "Beloved, do not imitate, do not mimic what is evil, but rather imitate or mimic what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." Again, does the Apostle John mean that we always do what is good and that we never sin and we never transgress? No. The Apostle John is speaking in broad, categorical terms. What Christians do, they do what is good. They're not pursuing a path or a course of evil, perhaps like unbelievers might be doing. And I might mention once again that the Apostle Paul told us in Galatians chapter 6, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially unto those who belong to the household of faith." Well, I've shared all of this morning that as we start a new year, we might have no greater purpose, no greater mission than to glorify God and to honor God by walking, by living, by taking each step, each day in the truth of God, the truth of Christ, the truth of obeying God, the truth of living in love, and the truth of doing what is good. There's really no better way to live, and the alternative is to live or to take steps in what is erroneous or false or evil or against God. And I'm sure none of us want to be found taking those kind of steps or living there. So let's remember that phrase for which the Apostle John commended his beloved friend Gaius: walking, living in the truth. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for each person here, for everyone who is affiliated with Emmanuel Baptist Church. Lord, that you and your grace would enable us, motivate us, empower us to live each day in truth. Lord, you are truth. You are light. Your word is light. Your commands are true. Your promises are true. All that reflects love and goodness is true. So Lord, help us to follow this particular course. I pray for our young people here that they would pursue each day what is true and right and good and pure and holy, even when others around them are not living in the truth. We ask this for Jesus' sake, to whom be praise forevermore. Amen.